why can't we live to 200, 300, 400? It's so prevalent in our society. Oh, it's my aging, it's my memory, there it goes. Everything is geared to that, but there are people who live in their 90s and 100, and they've got all their faculties and are huge inspirations to me and other people. Fight about it, but you don't have to accept it. Say, not me, and where's the solution for me?
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. Oh, my gosh, another fantastic episode. I am so excited to be with you here on another episode. Oh, my gosh, here we are changing seasons already. It seems like we were at 95 one day, and the next day we're at 65. It was a rather shock at how fast here in the Pacific Northwest that the weather changed. Had to pull out the long sleeves and the slippers here. Oh, my goodness. And that's why I asked our dear, dear friend, he's been on several times because he is just an absolute wealth of knowledge, is Swami Tirtha, also known as the Orange Cowboy. And he is on today because we're going to talk to him about the Ayurveda perspective of changing seasons and how we can adapt to it. Because I called him the other day and I said, "Burr, it's cold." And he said, "Yes, and there's things we can do about it." So let me introduce Swami really quick. He's a number one best-selling author who's presented to the White House Commission on Alternative Medicine. His speaking clients include top medical universities like Johns Hopkins and has more than 4 decades teaching wellness and consciousness. He is also a joy expert, which you'll absolutely find, helping individuals and groups develop more joy in their lives and improve their personal and professional lives. And we're going to talk about emotional, physical, financial, spiritual, the whole gamut today. And he is the author of the Ayurvedic Encyclopedia and the Ayurvedic Primer, as well as his latest book is 21 Days of Joy. So we're just, as you guys know, we're just going to go all down any rabbit hole that Swami and I feel like. So just buckle your seatbelts and welcome, Swami. Great joy, to have you joy, back.
Joy, 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 Sharon. So great to be back.
Awesome. Tell us a little bit, Swami, about what happens when the seasons change? Because to me, here at least in the Northwest, it seemed like a very quick change, and I wasn't ready.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point because sometimes the change happens, but not it doesn't last. So it suddenly got cold here very fast, also in upstate New York. But usually we have an Indian summer where it gets very warm again. And so the time frame that we're looking at is really a key factor. The 21st, I believe, is the first day of fall. And so we've got about another week of summer. So technically, it's a very cold end of summer.
Yes, technically. But Burr, I had to bring the slippers out.
Yeah, I almost turned the wood stove on. So I couldn't bring myself to do it. So we do want to speak in generalities as opposed to quirks. You know, we just on the East Coast, we have this big hurricane thing going down south. They're evacuating people in South Carolina, North Carolina, shoreline. So these are kind of more anomalies that are happening as opposed to the generalities. So please keep that in mind during the conversation today, folks, because you'll say, hey, that's not what's happening. And that may not be what's happening for a few days. But we have to just look at both the short-term anomalies and the general patterns.
Ah, great. Well, since, you know, the show does play in podcast, and so people could be listening to it as a later date than when we're recording it here, talk to us about what happens when, here at least in the Northern Hemisphere, we're switching from summer to fall. How does our bodies adapt? Can we help them, strengthen them to adapt to the changing weather?
Absolutely. It's such an interesting question. And Ayurveda has that like third eye vision of seeing things. And it's like, as one thing comes to a close, another thing is starting to open up, you know. And the body is going to go through changes. So just like we have to put on a coat when it gets chilly or turn the heat on when it gets chilly, what we eat, also we change to warmer or cooler foods. The tricky part, and it's going to be a little bit of a brain fuzz when we talk about this, because according to Ayurveda, it says that, well, let me use an analogy to start with, just because it doesn't make sense otherwise. You bake something, you're baking a pie, you're baking potatoes. When it comes out of the oven, it says, let it cool for some time. It's still cooking inside, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how Ayurveda looks at the fall. It says there's actually excess heat in our bodies during the fall time. And the best way I can make sense of it is that we have the heat of the summer that's heated us up. And even though the temperature outside is starting to cool down, we're still getting hotter somehow. Now, it doesn't make sense. And I always say, try it out for yourself, because only then it works. And it really does. I think the closest thing that makes sense to me, because this is one of those Ayurvedic things that's hard to wrap my head around, quite frankly, is I call it the concept of the Indian summer. It does get cooler for a while, but then suddenly it heats up again. We go back into the 70s or 80s. So that's where the approach that I'm going to share today is the notion that it actually, we get hotter inside of us during the fall time.
Oh.
We see a lot of,
Oh, I was that's fascinating. But I love your metaphor about taking something out of the oven and letting it cool because it is continuing to cook for a little while. That makes sense. Although I have to say my feet didn't think that this morning. They had to put the slippers on.
Exactly. Exactly right. And I can't give you logical explanations, but I do know that in the fall, many people get these flus, these illnesses, colds, the temperatures. Something weird is happening, and it's not necessarily from the visible eye. And when I follow the Ayurvedic routine, I'll use other therapies as well to just sort of keep myself in balance. But there's something is happening in the fall for sure. We all go through changes, and if this works for you, then that's great. You know, no thing works for everybody, but this does work quite a lot.
Okay, well, let's jump in. What are some of the first things that we should be thinking about as we prepare ourselves for the winter and, well, for the fall into the winter?
Right. So for the fall, and the people who are fire or pitta dosha people, they will feel this the most. So if we're having too much fire, Ayurveda says you balance that with colder things. Fire is heat. Have cooler or colder things, and that would be bitter or astringent or even sweet tastes. Sweet is cooler, but it's actually more watery, moist. So water eases the fire, puts out the fire, the excess fire. And bitter and astringent are cooler, and they cool the heat also. So for example, most greens, leafy greens, are bitter. Astringent would be, I can't even think of a food that's astringent, but it's the ones that make your face go,
that you just... Like, is it a lemon astringent? Or, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that does make my face wrinkle.
Well, sour is another taste that makes your face, but it's a different kind of a wrinkle.
Oh, okay. So it's okay. Sour is not the same as astringent. Okay.
Where astringent, well, the only one I know is neem. And neem is an Ayurvedic herb that's fairly popular in America. If you're not sure, bitter or astringent, they're both good for you. So rather than us try to bust our brains up here, we just say anything that's bitter or astringent, you're covered, and it doesn't matter which. They're both helpful for you. So golden seal is extremely bitter if you're into herbs. And if you have some excessive inflammations or infections, that's something that's very good for that, because the infection or the inflammation is excess heat. golden seal is extra bitter. So that's an example of how that works. Sweet foods, well, everything from wheat is sweet, to, of course, whole cane sweets, maple syrup. That's why maple syrup comes around for us in the winter time. And if we save it for the fall time, then that's good too.
Oh, fascinating. Now, these are just things that we incorporate into our diet. We just don't sit there and take 2 tablespoons of maple syrup. We just incorporate these things that we're talking about into a general diet, or do we have to change our whole diet? I've always been told to eat with the seasons, and so this is sort of like when the cabbages and the squashes come out.
Exactly right. It's a really good point. I think that, again, the fire people will probably just do more of what they're doing. And Ayurveda says it's good to have a little bit of each taste with each meal: sweet, sour, salty, pungent, bitter, and astringent, all 6 tastes. So probably, and it's, again, it's always a personal, you have to see how you're feeling. If you're feeling a little bit heated or off, add a little more of the bitter, astringent, or sweets. So Vata people will do better with the sweets because bitter and astringent really aggravate them. Kapha people do better with the bitter and astringent, and sweets aggravate the kapha, the water people. So it's a little bit of, there are guidelines, but we're our own best practitioner. We're our intuition is our best guide.
Now, if you are curious, like he's talking about the Vata people, the water and all of that, go to understandingautoimmune.com and be able to check out all of his other beautiful, beautiful podcasts we have from Swami, where he describes them, as well as we have a little, I guess we'll call it a quiz. Well, it's not really a quiz, a little checklist. It's not a quiz, like you can't fail it, okay? But Swami, just briefly, so if people are listening right now, let's just give them a couple of the tips on the different types where we're talking about fire. How would I know if I was fire or water?
Sure. So the three main types are air, fire, and water. Air is people with air excesses, which would what we'd call an illness or an imbalance. Excess of air, too much air would be dryness, such as dry skin. Air is too much air is gas, or too much air in the mind is like air, mind is racing around, blowing all over the place.
Well, isn't that where airhead comes from?
And then fire people, too much heat would be heat rash, heartburn, acid reflux, hot temper. So it's very simple to see, figure out what your natural constitution is, natural personality is, and then say, oh, okay, this fits one or more of the constitutions or doshas. Water people, too much water is edema, water in the lungs, excess water retention, like excess weight, or earth even, too much weight. And if you ever try walking in water, you know how slow it is to walk. So water in the brain is lethargy. Mm. Couch potato syndrome, things like that.
Now, I'm curious, though. I just want to go down this rabbit hole for just a second because I know we're going to get into it a little deeper of the explanations. But with autoimmune, sometimes I heard like, okay, yeah, there are times that I have had acid reflux as well as that brain fog, as well as swollen ankles. So can you be all three when your body's sort of confused with an autoimmune condition?
Absolutely. And most people are combinations of two and sometimes all three. And then the rule of the thumb is, obviously you want to speak to, well, let me just preface everything by saying this is for educational purposes. I'm not here to treat, diagnose, prescribe, or heal any condition. You see your local practitioners.
What we're here today is just to give us this flavor, this intrigue of like, oh, maybe Ayurveda can help me. This is something I didn't know about. But yeah, let's talk about when you have an autoimmune and your body's confused.
Yeah.
Sometimes you end up with some of the symptoms of everything.
That's right. And then what Ayurveda suggests is you just go with the one that's most prevalent. So if the swollen ankles are the worst, then work on them. If the fog is there, then you work on that first, you know, or two of the three. See, there's the beauty of Ayurveda is normally there's one thing that's out of whack, But if there's two imbalances, then you use the third element. So if you have too much water and too much fire, then the air will bring balance. You have that extra cushion of things to do, where, say, the Chinese system is either yin or yang. So if one's out of balance, you can use the other. But if they're both out of balance, well, I'm not an expert in that, but it's harder. You only have two things to work with.
Right. Yeah, sometimes a three-legged stool, is, as they say in milking, is a little bit better. Well, that makes sense. So when we're looking at this as far as the change of seasons and adding some of these things that you said to our foods, I want to go back to this idea. I was always told to eat with the seasons, but I find that's kind of hard in today's world because my grocery store just usually carries the same old thing, you know, month after month. It doesn't seem to rotate with what I would call the seasonal foods.
Yeah, you know, the best thing is, I mean, if you're living in the country, then there's all sorts of organic, local organic farmers. But if you're in the heart of the cities, they do have these farmers come into the farmers market.
And I love farmers markets.
So they're fun, and usually you can get organic, which is the healthiest, and you get what they're growing, and they can only bring you what they're growing. You know, they can't bring you what they're not growing. So that sort of helps that out. And then I also wonder about that because there are some superfoods, you know, the whole thing with superfoods now, that if they're really that good for you, is it okay to have them in the wintertime? And they, you know, like I love pineapple. Whenever there's pineapple in the store, even in the winter, I'll get it. It just makes me feel good.
I think that's a critical key, though, there that you just said, Swami, that I want to underline. It just makes me feel good. And I can tell when I eat foods that don't make me feel good.
Yeah.
And so it absolutely, I know that when you said just makes me feel good, there are foods that it just makes me feel good. So yeah. To me, that's a key sign that you're probably fine eating that food, even if it's out of season.
Absolutely. And if you grew up, like there's a fire person comes along and you say, well, avoid onions. And they say, well, my father's an onion farmer. My mother's an onion farmer. We've eaten onions since I was born. You say, well, you know what? Then keep eating it because you're used to it. You acclimated to it. It's a part of your life. So it's a lot of common sense. So Ayurveda says best to listen to your intuition, listen to your body, because everything is in theory sounds great. Does it work for you? That's really the key. And Ayurveda ultimately is a spiritual discipline to help us discover our intuition, discover our enlightened selves, not just a physical healing condition.
And I think that's critically important to listen to your intuition because even in Western medicine, they're giving you stats like most people will, or the studies show, but there's always an outlier. And this is the science of Sharon. I'm just going to put that out there. I've always had this feeling that people that have an autoimmune condition tend to be a little bit more of that outlier where, you know, the common knowledge maybe has to be tweaked to work for whatever's going on in their body, because to me, autoimmune is being out of balance.
You know, so you raise an interesting point, and I'd like to ask you a question, if I may, because you've studied, you're a master of autoimmune. In terms of thinking of a cause of autoimmune, would it be a truism, or maybe haven't done the research yet, maybe haven't thought about it, I don't know, maybe... Have you found that more people or enough people who have autoimmune had the habit of listening to the mainstream, and that's maybe why they got sick instead of listen to their bodies? It's a thought that popped in my head.
I'm not even sure if that's true just for autoimmune. I think it's for a lot of us. Until we have that reckoning moment, I think for me coming down with the autoimmune, I've always leaned towards eating organic and doing things what I'd say the more natural, organic lifestyle way. But when I think about your question, to me, what is important to think about is that idea of whether it was, you know, a toxin in your world or toxins, or whether it was stress or trauma or all of the above, too frantic of lifestyle, you know, all these things I think play into it. Because I can talk to a number of people and they'll say, wow, when I changed my stress and started meditating every day, I got well. Or someone else will say, wow, I cleaned all the toxins out of my home and I eat only organic food, and they'll go, I got well. And to me, it's such a cumulative effect. As you know, you taught me a long time ago, it's like this big bucket. And when we get ill, the bucket's full and overflowing. And what we have to do is restabilize, rebalance that bucket. So, yeah, I think as long as we keep an open mind, I found many things through my search for wellness was I had to use my own intuition on myself. Like, okay, is that right for me? And maybe my friend's saying, Sharon, try it. It really worked. But somehow something inside is like, no.
Right. And I think that's the most important takeaway of if anybody forgets everything else we talked about today, don't you feel that's the most important message? Probably of every conversation. Listen to yourself. Listen to your intuition.
Trust it too. The times I've been talked out of it, I've later regretted. And whether I regretted it because it didn't end up the way I wanted, or I regretted it because I just allowed myself to be talked out of trusting myself when deep inside I knew.
Right.
And I think that's an important thing to know. And this is just a little bit gender related, signs of Sharon again, guys, is women allow themselves to be talked out of things much easier. And I'm always saying, please, trust yourself. Go ahead. Okay, if you're on video, you saw Swami's face, his eyes rolled there, so challenge me.
because think about men who adopt the macho way. You got to be a macho guy. You got to be the provider. There's so many rules for the male that they don't have the opportunity, or they don't have the courage, or they don't have the wherewithal, oftentimes, to say, well, what do I believe about that? Am I going to stand up to all my friends who say, be this way when I feel this way? So I don't think it's a gender. I think it may be a different motivation to listen to the gender, but I think the men have an equal amount of difficulty following their intuition.
See, that's why I love this guy. These are the kinds of friends you want, the ones that you really have spirited conversations. I love this. We need to take a quick commercial break, but these are the kinds of friends you want in your world, guys. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach, and my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're having just a fun, spirited discussion with Swami Tirtha today. And he's also known as the Orange Cowboy. He is the number one best-selling author of the Ayurvedic Encyclopedia and the Ayurvedic Primer. And also his latest book is 21 Days of Joy. And what I love about Swami is, you know, he's just a wealth of knowledge. And today we actually were going to talk about seasons and seasonal chains, but I'm having so much fun just running down rabbit holes, finding Swami's wisdom and sharing everything that we're coming up with, that we're just going to keep on running down rabbit holes for you, because to me, that's where you come up with breakthroughs, is when you're willing to explore. So, Swami, thank you so much. And thank you for bringing that perspective of the macho into it. To be able to see the opposite viewpoint is critically important.
Again, you know, there are certain, truisms, and one of them is trust your intuition. The other is the idea of universality, of oneness. And as long as we keep thinking of anything in terms of dualities, we're doing ourselves and our hearts a disservice. You know, there are obviously differences between male and female, but the challenges, we all have the same types of challenges. We all have to listen to our intuitions, and we all have to buck the various systems, male, female, age, all these things. And they all need to be stood up to in our hearts and say, well, is that, here's the thing, to go back to what you were saying earlier, there are so many people who get the prognosis from their doctors, this is incurable, you'll have a week to live, you'll whatever. And the people say, no way, I refuse to accept that, and I'm going to whatever. And they do.
Yeah, we just had Karen Hoyt on, who just one day all of a sudden suffered liver failure. And they said, that was on in August, and they said she won't see Christmas. And here it is, like, 8 years later? And I loved it because she was like, hey, thanks, but not me. Yeah. And I love it.
One of the things I'm challenging is the concept of aging. I refuse to accept it. Why can't we live to 200, 300, 400? And it's so prevalent in our society. Oh, it's my aging. It's my memory. There it goes. Everything is geared to that. But there are people who live in their 90s and 100, and they've got all their faculties and are huge inspirations to me and other people. And so wherever we're talking, whether it's a illness or age or a gender barrier or whatever the barrier is, you don't have to be angry. You don't have to be fight about it, but you don't have to accept it. Say, not me. And where's the solution for me?
Awesome. I love that, because accepting ownership of things that aren't true for us can keep us weighted down. I remember when I got the diagnosis, the doctor's like almost anointing you with this diagnosis, and he's telling you all of the terrible statistics. He calls them outcomes. I'm like, no, those are statistics. That's not an outcome. And we had this spirited discussion because he thought I wasn't, quote unquote, being realistic. Yeah. And I said, no, how we think and how we talk about ourselves can come true if we aren't really careful about what happens. So yes, I understand. I hear you saying I have this imbalance in my system that you're calling an autoimmune condition.
Right.
And I refuse ownership of it, meaning I'm not going to keep it. I'm going to get rid of it. It's going out with the local garbage, you know?
That's right. I find, like, just in terms of bringing back the aging example, is people say, oh, you get stiff as you get older. Well, yeah, if you sit in a chair for 8 hours a day at work and come home and sit on the couch for another 6 hours, you're going to get stiff. That's not aging. That's poor lifestyle choices.
Yeah. Well, don't they say sitting is the new smoking or something like that? And that's so true. We had this wonderful discussion a couple of weeks ago, Swami, on hydration. And they were talking about fascia and how that is really so overlooked that's now here we are in what so-called modern age, just discovering that fascia is the hydration lubrication pump of the entire system. And she was describing how it doesn't have to be heavy duty exercise to get the fascia to do its primary function, and that's to move the hydration throughout your system. It can just be movement
You know, I'm discovering, I'm so excited. I'll share this with you. So I do some yoga. I do some walking. I do some energy exercises. But one of my walks doing, and I do my energy exercises on my walks, I get this voice talking to me and saying, so here's energy, right? Like Qigong or karate or, you know, it's energy. You get the energy to flow. And they said, well, what's on the other side of energy? It's light. I mean, that's what physics tells us. A particle of energy, the finest particle of energy, is also a wavelength of light. So I said, okay, energy is a really good, important thing to focus on, but we're not really yet focusing on the light. And they're starting to show me all this exercises and awareness of our light. And that's like where Reiki comes in and light working comes in to light us up, to bring back, to recognize that light that's in us.
Oh, tell me more. You've intrigued me. Okay, so how do we do that? How are you doing that when on your walks?
Well, think of air. So we breathe, our body needs air. And if we're nervous and we don't breathe, everything shuts down. Our stress levels increase. But if we breathe, everything releases and the air flows again. Imagine the light. So I'll give you an example. So the first yoga light exercise they taught me is you have one hand straight up, and then you start to do a back twist. And right about in this position with my other hand, it feels like the light is coming down into me.
And so I'm putting one hand up, and then I'm doing what, like about a two-thirds twist to, does it matter left or right?
Just one hand. You'll do it both ways, one after the other. And then you'll just keep
You do feel different this way, don't you?
So play around. I use the front hand up and the right hand down.
Okay, so the right hand. So I'm switching my hands here because I had my back hand up. And even that felt different too.
That might be for you too. So,
it's funny.
And just as you're just letting your body guide you, and suddenly the light starts to pour in.
So for our audio listeners, let's walk them through it. So you take the forward hand and put it up.
Start with your left hand and put it out in front of you. And take your right hand and put it just slightly above the horizontal of your shoulder, your ear. Okay. Yeah, right in your ear. That's it. And now twist to your right. And just nice and just feel the twist. No pushing, no forcing. And as it starts to feel good, just see if it doesn't, you don't feel some light coming in from heaven or something. And usually I stand up to do that. But what are you feeling? What are you experiencing?
I'm getting warm and I feel a lot of energy. I can't say that I saw light.
It's okay.
But I felt a lot of energy. And I have to preface or just jump backwards a little bit here. It's so interesting to me, Swami, because the hydration experts, Dr. Cohen and Gina Brea that we had on, their suggestion for getting the lubrication, the fascia, to release the hydration was twisting.
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating? So they didn't show us this movement, but I could see how we could incorporate that into not only bringing in the light, but allowing our fascia to hydrate us.
It's actually part of a Qigong move for the liver, is to twist to the left and right. So I've sort of was playing, I integrated Qigong and yoga, and then just this year, it's like, oh, the light's coming in. Same thing when you pour. This is really crazy stuff. But try it, because as long as you feel good, you don't have to see the light. If I'm pouring water from a pitcher into a glass, I notice if I pour it at a 45-degree angle, it feels like the light of heaven is coming into the glass.
Ooh, that's interesting. And I love all of these because we can play with them, whether you put your arms up and twist, you can only twist a little bit, or you can twist a lot. You know, this is just all about do what feels right for you. But I love playing with this opportunity to see what do you see, what do you feel, what are you hearing, what sensations are happening for you. And as I know Swami would say, if it feels good, keep doing it.
Because like you said, I don't feel the light, but I feel much more energy. Awesome.
Warmer. It was almost, you know, I got very warm. So maybe that was the light, but I wasn't seeing it, you know?
And that's how we resolved your cold season out there.
Yes, I know. Now I know. I'll just do these every so often. I'm feeling chilly. I will do these, putting the one arm up and the other arm in the back at ear length and twisting. It does make me warmer. Isn't that fascinating?
And play around with the heights and the angles because you'll find your discovery.
Well, true. And here we are both sitting, so it's a little more awkward to twist when you're bumping into a chair behind you types of things. But this
you
is
can always get a chubby checker record and do the twist. Come on, babe. Do the twist.
Absolutely. That is another way to bring back joy, too.
Dancing is really, really a great thing. Just to round it out, if you get Reiki or energy healing from a light worker, as we're called, or lay down on your bed and do some relaxation, relax all your parts of your body, and then imagine energy coming in or imagine light coming in, whatever your belief system is able to accept. But imagine, picture energy coming in, picture water flowing in and flowing head to toe, and it's soothing you, and then picture the light coming in. Or it's really ultimately coming from our hearts, from our souls. So picture, if you can, picture it that way.
There's so many ways to picture it and so many ways to play with it. And I say, if you just play with it, there's no rule here.
One of the things in Ayurveda in the fall is to have moonlight bathing. So if you go out in the full moon, those days around the full moon, see that silvery light. That's the kind of a light that I see in our bodies. And just call it to you. Imagine its gravity is just bringing it down to you. Or picture heaven and just picture a column. See how this column of light is right behind me here in this wings?
Yes, he has an amazing background for those on audio. He has an amazing background.
It's a white column of light from heaven just descending and blessing us. And picture that. And then say, I wonder if it could be inside of me. You know, it's just asking for it. How can that? Or thank you for letting that light penetrate me. Thank you for letting me feel it and become one. It comes back to the oneness again.
Oh my gosh, we need to take one more quick commercial break. And when we come back, I just love this. We're just exploring all sorts of fantastic ways of being with Swami today. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free, non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're just having an amazing time with Swami today. When you guys could tell, when we get together, he and I just go everywhere with our thought processes, exploring all sorts of interesting ideas. the concept of the show today was about seasons, and we've touched on that a little bit, but some of the things we've touched on really are seasonless. We could do them at any time to change how we're feeling. But I want to jump back just to seasons for a minute, because I know we'll find another rabbit hole shortly, but I know you have a couple of avoid tips for the seasons, the fall season to change. So let's get those in before we forget and run down some other rabbit hole.
Right. So as important as it is and how easy it is to have our bitter, astringent, and sweet foods that feel right to us, is important to stay away from the hot things. Because if, in fact, you're feeling hotter in the season, stay away from hot things, right? You know, so sour foods are hot. Fatty foods, too much sun, but particularly for those who have the habit of alcohol and cigarettes, those are heating. So we do want to reduce that if we want to feel better. We'll feel better if we reduce those anyway.
Those are overall good suggestions regardless of the season. I have a question about hot foods though. Is something that's spicy, like a chili pepper or something like that, is that considered hot or just spicy?
That would be hot. Pungent, spicy, hot. Those are all sour and pungent are the hotter foods.
Yeah. Okay. That one I have to say, I don't worry about that anyway, because I really have never been a fan of spicy food. So for my own system, I just like, no.
A lot of fire people don't like hot foods. And so a lot of this is quite natural for some people.
That's about trusting ourselves. So I want to jump back into trusting ourselves, because a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't know if it was my intuition talking or just some memory of a bad B movie I saw. So
it's a great question. It is such a great question. And it is a question I've asked myself a number of different times on, you know, different parts of the journey. So when I moved upstate, it's so quiet out here in cow country. You hear nothing but your own thoughts. And then you start to observe, you know, there's nothing one you can blame for how you're feeling, because it's just you, you know. And then I started to realize, wow, look at there, I'm making my back tense. I have to do yoga to release that, but I can't blame it on anybody. There's something subtly going on. And so that's when I started to say, okay, same thing. I notice sometimes I hear a voice and the voice gives me the right answers. And I said, okay, and now I'm talking to God and I'm saying, you really do give me the right answers, but how do I know if it's not me? And so make me sincere when I ask for help, because I know I can tend to be a, not a wise guy, but I do the opposite of what's told. I forgot what I mean.
Polarity responder you are, sir. That's why we get along.
Well, it works in investing. You know, you go against the psychological mark. But with God, you don't want to be the opposite of what God says. I don't, because I find it's always a better choice. And I actually learned at a certain point what I thought makes me happy. When I hear God saying, try this instead, I say, isn't that funny? That's exactly what I wanted to do. Because I spent so much of my life being unhappy hearing God ask me to do things. When I started to realize they were actually better for me, I started to just change. I changed my attitude like that. And so eventually I said, okay, so from now on, I'm just going to take one. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to assume everything I hear from you is from you. And if it's from me, you're God, you can help me get out of that stuff. And so he knows I'm going to be consistent as much as possible. You know, sometimes, you know, human. I want a second bowl of ice cream. So there you go. And that's how it really works for me, to the point where my new car, my angels helped me get my new car, which is this orange, the Mazda Miata sports car convertible. They helped me get, I wouldn't have gotten it because I would have had all these negatives about myself not getting a sports car. And they talked me into it. And they told me now. And then each time you believe and you trust and it works out for you, then you have faith for the next bigger void words that you hear coming to you.
Right, right. And I think that's critical to know, is sorting it out. Sorting out the different voices that we hear, and are they true or not? And having that compass that only comes through experience of letting you know when, oh, okay, that's the voice I've heard before. That's that's the thoughts that are have always rung true before, is helpful. Because when we first start out trusting what happens to us, there's always a lot of second guessing at first. It's like, wow, you know, well, maybe that was my fifth grade teacher's voice from.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe it's cultural. Maybe everybody in my country or in my religion believe that. But I don't believe it. I really don't. And I have to do something else.
Oh, my gosh. We could just get into unconscious bias. And we've already touched on it several times today, haven't we? Oh, my gosh. I think that's important in healing, though, to understand my own unconscious bias about healing, what I was taught. I was taught, have a cookie, you'll feel better. And I have found out that that's not true for me. But that was a very common thing in my family that I still see some of the senior members of the family saying to the younger members of the family. Yeah. And that's an unconscious bias that I held for a long time. A cookie would make me feel better. Comfort foods is another, you know, that's the idea of the comfort food.
Well, when mommy cooked, baked those little chocolate chip cookies and you got to lick the batter, that was happy times. And so we're going to go to those things now. And sometimes they're helpful. I mean, if we switch to organic and whole cane sugars, okay, that's not so bad. Or gluten-free for those who need that. But sometimes it's not, like you're saying. So,
yeah, being able to be aware of, is this, I always like to say, what did I see, hear, feel, and believe? Because I have to question a lot of my things, like, okay, do I know this or I just believe it? Somebody somewhere along implanted this and I just believe it, or do I know it?
Right.
And that for me is always a question I ask myself so I can get clarity for myself, including when I'm making medical decisions for my body. And that is about taking ownership of my own healing. To me, that's, I know you're a huge advocate of that. We've talked on that at length before about being taking ownership for your own healing, because nobody knows your body like you.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
What are some things that we can do when we need to take ownership of? And I know you have these beautiful ways of saying to people, sort of like, here's my brute force type of way of saying it, but you have these beautiful ways of telling people, thank you, but no thank you. Can you share with us a couple of your things that you've shared with me before about how you talk to people in letting people just be who they are?
You know, it's such an interesting question because it answers the questions we were talking about before. As we start to listen to spirit or God or intuition or whatever each of us like to call it, and I like to use the word God or my angels, depending which one I feel is talking to me. If I say to somebody, well, thanks for the tip, but it's not what God is giving me in other directions. So that usually ends the haranguing.
Yeah, I think calling in the big guns.
You have to be careful because, you know, you could start us, you know, use that as a crutch to say, oh, God's telling me to have three bowls of ice cream now. And, you know, you have to be true to yourself. But in terms of other people, I have a friend who's I'm a channel, so I just channel things that come through me, and they're a channel, and they started telling me, oh, you really need to focus on this and this and this, and I just started laughing and going, why are they telling me what I have to do? They're a channel, I'm a channel. So I'll say, well, you know, I mean, I just laughed that one off, but if it kept on, I would have said, so are you, let me be clear, and this is a really interesting point, because communication is, for me anyway, is a huge challenge. What I hear and what I think I hear, usually two different things. So I've started to say, well, let me make sure I hear you. This is what I'm hearing. I don't think you're saying this because it doesn't make sense, but are you telling me to stop listening to my channeling and do what you think you're channeling? And then like, oh, no, that's not what I'm saying. Oh, okay, well, that's cleared it up.
Oh, I think that my famous words that I just absolutely tell people all the time, and you say it with a very kind voice, you don't say it with a stern voice, is I always say, just so I understand, this is what I heard.
Right.
And people are like, most often, more than not, it's like, oh, no, that's not what I meant to say. And there's this wonderful thing when in my communications trainings early on that I heard the phrase, and I wish I could remember who to attribute the quote to, but it's very prevalent in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, is the response you got back is the message you sent. Mm-hmm. And so people are always like, okay, well, they didn't respond the way I wanted them to respond. How dare they?
Right.
Well, take it, roll back the videotape.
Right.
What was the message you sent? How did you say it? Like your friend who was trying to sort of tell you that maybe your channel was off.
Yeah. And that's why we have to always, I have to always bring it back to me. And what you just said, make sure, because I remember once with the same person, I said, weeks or months later, I said, oh yeah, the last time you told me ABC, she goes, I didn't mean that. I didn't say that. I go, you didn't? No. Oh. So I know I don't listen well. And you know, their statistics are we only get 10% of our information from words anyway.
Yeah.
And I think that's a part of it. We rely too much on that, or we don't use it enough. I'm not sure what it is, but.
Well, and especially in medicine though, that's a critical point that we should make. We're just running out of time, but Swami and I always do this when we get together. I think that's a critical point I want to make, though, is that idea, if we only get a small bit of our understanding through the verbal, the words, and that you're sitting there at the doctor's office, and what's he or she doing? Words. I always take a journal and write a lot of things down, and I always go with my journal that has questions that I've thought about in the previous weeks or months before my visit as well. Because, well, as you say, words can fail us far too often.
And the other thing is, because 90% of what's coming to us in the doctor's office or everywhere is non-word. So if the doctor is afraid of death and they're talking to you about a life-threatening condition, they're communicating fear to you. So you are believing fear without even knowing it, unless you're aware. Say, well, look at his body, look at his eyes, he's afraid, she's afraid. If the doctor, if you're talking to a surgeon, their solution is what? Surgery.
Yeah.
That's what they were trained in. They're going to, the best thing for you is surgery. What about these other things? I don't know. I've never trained in those things. So we have to understand that everybody's coming with their own biases. And it behooves us, if we want to have a good life, to see those filters, or at least put up a filter and say, just God, angels protect me, wrap me in white light, and only bring in the good stuff for me.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. You know, it's so funny, Swami, it brings to mind when I got my diagnosis, I remember I'd been seeing this professional for about a year and trying to unravel what was going on. And then I had some very significant symptoms where it became obvious what was going on. And I remember she came in, she took one look, I said, oh, I forgot something, but I just knew internally. No, she didn't forget anything. Something just happened. She took one look at me. And dermatomyositis, for those who don't know, it has a lot of skin rashes, so it's not pretty to look at. And she left the room. And she came back with another physician whom I've never met. And I just knew, I didn't know what it meant, but body language, I was like, this is not good.
Right.
Both of their body languages were like, this is not good. Yeah. So I did hold my breath at that moment, even though I, quote unquote, know better. Yeah. Take a deep breath in those moments. Really clear yourself in those moments. Get as much life breath in you. I held my breath.
Yeah.
Until I reminded myself, oh, keep breathing, Sharon. Keep breathing. You'll do better if you keep breathing.
Keep breathing is a great, great mantra. And another mantra that I like is, thank you for making this the best moment possible. So if you're talking to the doctor or a friend or a boss or an employee, and it's starting to get tense, or even beforehand, you just say, thank you for making this conversation the best possible outcome. It always is. It always is, in my experience.
And it always is with Swami too. We're out of time. Except I want to have you tell everybody how to get your books, how to find out more about you, where your website is, all that good stuff. Because even though Swami and I had an agenda for our call today, we never stick to it, and we make it the best moment possible. Thank you. Love you. Tell us all about you.
Joy. Yeah. So if you're interested in Ayurveda, I have two books, the big book, the Ayurveda Encyclopedia, and then the itty bitty book by comparison. And this is all the important questions, the common questions people have asked me over the last 40 years, including food plans and a couple of guided meditations. And
that's the Ayurveda Primer for those on audio. That's the second book.
And you can get these on Amazon. And this one, the Ayurveda Encyclopedia, it was a bestseller for many years, a number one bestseller. TheVedicSchool.com is where you can be certified in Ayurveda. If you go to orangecowboy.com, you'll learn about VIP Ayurveda, because we all deserve royal wealth, royal wellness, and royal wealth too, yeah.
That works for me. Both
health
work.
As well,
we can have both.
VIP Ayurveda is for royal wellness. And then I have my 21 days of course joy there. And you can also look at my website, talkingwithourangels.com. It's a TV show that this is my studio that I'm in right now. And we talk with a lot of what we did today is what we do on that show. We call it angels, or I do, and other people call it God or spirit, but it's a lovely positive show, how to bring more joy into your life. Yeah. So, and if you go to orangecowboy.com, I have a free Tibetan bowl meditation sound bath for you. You just put in your name and email address, and then you can download it, and it just meditates you. You don't even have to do anything.
Oh my goodness, Swami. Thank you so much for sharing your day with us. This has been awesome. I always learn so much from you. Everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures, and join me next time. Enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at sharonsaylor.com/radio gift.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.